suddenly moving quickly, sliding roughly across the broken stones. Holly? But Holly was there beside me, sliding along parallel, and... What the hell? I strained to lift my head to see who had us by our collars, but then he no longer did. We were inside the second room once more, and he had dropped us flopping on the floor and turned to reseal the door. It was Lewis. It was the drunk. He was sober. I remembered the hatch. He didn't bother to take us all the way back to the control room table. He left us lying where we were and used the medical supplies stacked against the wall.
"Lewis?"
asked Holly suddenly. I turned, surprised and delighted to see he was still alive.
"Holly, you made it!"
He grinned, winced from the pain.
"Why not? You did,"
he asked. Then we both laughed. Lewis did not. He didn't speak at all, in fact. He tended to us in grim silence, darting back and forth from body to body with grips and packs and an air of urgency. We weren't much help, too tired and too hurt, and, come to think of it, too amazed at being alive. When it was over and we were going to live for another short while, he sat us up against the wall and gave us some water. Then he hauled over a chair and sat down and lit a cigarette and looked at us with that same grim expression of a parent furious with naughty children and asked,
"Why?"
Holly tried to tell him about Borglin using mortars on the city folk again and again, and about how horrible that was and what it meant, about how Borglin would be so hated now that he would have to be even more brutal later on, and how, no, we didn't think we could beat him exactly, but slowing him down would surely mean something. He interrupted once. In a cold tone, he nodded at me.
"All this for you, too?"
I nodded, feeling strangely embarrassed. Holly seemed embarrassed, too. He went on, really wanting Lewis to understand.
"It has to be done, Lewis."
Lewis sighed.
"It always does, Holly. That's no reason to do it."
"But all those people."
"What about them?"
Holly frowned, stuck. He turned to me. But I couldn't think either. He turned back to Lewis.
"Lewis, there just isn't anyone else. Can't you see that?"
He stood up, walked a couple of steps. He puffed a puff. He looked down at us.
"Shouldn't that tell you something?"
Holly faced him.
"I just didn't see any way out, Lewis. I still don't."
Lewis frowned.
"Don't you?"
"I don't,"
replied Holly in an odd tone. I looked at him. Tears were starting from his eyes. I shook my head. What the hell was going on? And then Lewis was there, right in front of us, and crouched down and peering at us with eyes I didn't know he possessed. And he said,
"You can't. Neither of you. You don't see any way out."
We shook our heads, and then Holly said in a calm, clear voice,
"There isn't one."
Lewis dropped his face into his hands. He rubbed it hard. But then, when he lifted it back up, the grimness had gone. It was replaced with, what, reckless abandon? He smiled.
"I was afraid you'd say that."
Then he stood up and stripped off his jumpsuit. He was naked underneath. I heard a groan behind me. I looked and saw that Holly was openly crying now. He must have known then. But I didn't until Lewis walked naked to the far corner of the room and did something that only one human creature in all the universe could do. He touched his open palm to that of the black suit, and it opened. Felix.